So what can organizations do to manage this stress? We talked about a lot of ways in which people could get stressed. But isn't it the responsibility of an organization also to look at some strategies on way this stress can be managed, right? So if organizations are able to remove ambiguity in terms of roles, what are the various conflict situations that come at work? If they can increase communications, get managers to, have conversations with their team members, spend time, do expectation setting, definitely some level of stress for the employee could come down. They could also encourage people in being a part of the overall decision making process. They could give people more freedom, more flexibility. They could give them feedback on time, give them greater responsibilities, give them goals which are really achievable, goals which seem doable, and have conversations around how people can perform better. It could lead to a huge reduction in the stress that people are feeling for the way organization is structured, right? Employees, if they are given feedbacks on where they are going, certain organizations are decentralized. Mind you, there are organizations which are centralized, but many of them have done decentralization, because of which decision making is faster. Okay, salary is regularly in these organizations, salary is regularly reviewed, incentives are reviewed based on what role people are playing. They are given the right kind of work, their jobs are clear, their goals are very clear, and hence their performance is much better than what is expected of them. So this creates a very fair working environment. People get opportunities to look at other roles, move between functions. There is job rotation which is available. All this also leads to any organization to reduce its stress. Okay, so an organization also needs to have a good hiring and an orientation procedure. Like when a person joins new, when I'm onboarded in an organization, I need to know what is expected of me on the first day. Which team am I going to work with? What is the kind of job I'm going to do? What is my role? How do I move in this role? How do I go ahead? All these things become and really become a time for people to really identify themselves with that organization, be at home with that organization. Hence, hiring and orientation is very important part of any organization process. And especially when people are appreciated, they're recognized for what they are doing, they feel a sense of joy, they feel a sense of accomplishment, and they feel that they are able to do well in their work, gives them a sense of high, and they continue to perform well, right? So that also reduces their stress. When they are recognized, they know they are doing good work, there is a reduction in stress, and they are able to exceed their targets. So individually, what people can do, what can I really do so that my performance can improve? Have you ever thought how you can do, what you can do, to reduce stress in your course? Have you really done a to-do list? Okay, these are the things I want to finish today. These are my priorities, and this is how I will go about planning. So, when you have a to-do list, it becomes you are able to tick out what you have done, what you have not done, what is remaining. You are able to prioritize. That's what you should do. I think in terms of managing your time and time management, this is a very effective strategy. You can take breaks while you're working instead of continuously working, which causes stress. Some good breaks really help. So if you are working hard, and I'm sure most of us will work hard in your careers, you all will work hard in your careers, it is very important that you have a balance of your work at your home and your health. Okay, so all this balance has to be maintained without compromising or jeopardizing anybody who's a part of this whole process. So you should not do anything wrong with your colleague. You should not do anything wrong with your family, with your health. Everything has to be in a balanced way so that our stress is reduced. And most important, I think fitness is very, very critical. Organizations are playing a huge role and focus in terms of employee fitness. And hence, your own fitness is important. Daily exercise can take you through a lot of life challenges. Trust me, guys, on that. managing regular sleep, having a lot of water, healthy eating habits, relaxation techniques, yoga, meditation, walks, following your hobbies, listening to music, dance, all these things reduce your stress. So your fitness level, there has to be a combination of mind and body fitness levels that have to be looked at. This is a combination. The mind and body is a combination. It works together. And when you focus on fitness for both the mind and body, your stress levels automatically come down. Also, it is very important to have a positive attitude to whatever you do, right? We have many organizations talk about a positive attitude. It's really challenging to continue to keep a positive attitude and a positive mindset. But it's also important to let go the negative attitude or negative approach that you would have to anything that is on your plate. Be confident about your own self. You have a can-do attitude. You know that, you know, this is a job that you can crack is all that you need to do. So have a support group, a peer group with whom you can talk, you can share your problems, you can, you know, you can share how you went through a problem, how you came out of it. Your peers can share that problem. So in organizations, there are coffee tables, there are, you know, water cooler talks where people share things at these places. They talk to each other and they say, and you know, they really speak their heart out. And many organizations also have counseling services which can be used for them to to vent out whatever their emotions are, feelings are. And hence it is important for us, very important for us, to understand what are our strengths and what are our weaknesses and what we should do to eliminate some of these important factors which affect our performance. And career counseling, for example, finding is one very, very important. How do I move ahead in my career? Conversations. If your manager is not doing a conversation with you, you have to do a conversation with your manager. Let's talk. Let me know what I have to do to perform better. Okay. Find ways on how you could, you know, enjoy your work. What makes your work more meaningful? What is important in your work? What is the priority? How that same work can become fun work? And also help your team members. That will also help release your stress. At any point of time, helping is a very, very important part of your role, and it helps you feel good about your own self. So what are some of the performance management and performance appraisal aspects for the managers also? Okay, so any organization's productivity, profitability, okay, success only will happen when an employee performs well. So caring about any employee's performance is very, very vital for any performance management process and for an organization. An organization has to know how to improve an employee performance. We talked about stress before, you know, how it contributes to reduced productivity, reduced performance, and finally reduced output, right? Similarly, employees, when an employee's performance, the measure of his performance is determined by the goals and the priorities he has been set, an organization sets for him. So employee performance cannot be just good or bad, or you know, you did well, you didn't do well. Okay, there are a lot of shades of gray. There are, so Abhi did speak some time about, you know, why people would not perform, what would be the reasons. So there could be cyclical timelines also when an employee would not perform. There are certain times when he would not perform, but at certain times he may perform extremely well. Okay, so that's why we say that there could be some shades of gray on how a person performs. So we cannot dismiss what contributions he has made and what are his circumstances at work. When we see explicitly, because employees have different roles and responsibilities, employee performance will look different for each employee. So setting goals is a huge part of any performance management process. But that is not the only part of employee performance. Okay, so you have to be very, very explicit when you are saying what performance means for you as an organization or as a manager. So, organizations might try to avoid ambiguity. It is impossible for every element of employee's performance. You cannot state everything, okay, you have to come on time, the timing should be 9, you cannot leave before 6, this is the number you have to do, you have to be attend all meetings. It's too difficult to have this list of things that you can tell a person on what really performance means for them. So, organizations have to, as far as possible, be clear with their expectation, but employees also have to understand what is unwritten. Punctuality is unwritten, it is expected of you. Sharing knowledge is unwritten, it's important. Helping your teammates is unwritten, it is important. Giving your deliverables on time, all this is unwritten, but it's expected, right? Having a good dressing sense, coming dressed properly to work, it's unwritten. You know, did not need to be told every day that you have to dress up well and come. So there are a lot of written and unwritten laws, but it's very important for people to understand what are the unwritten rules of any organization and how they can also enhance your performance. And then there are certain standards, goals, priorities that you need to set, right? So you could have probably have a numerical goal at the beginning of any performance life cycle, but you are achieving a goal, but you are not following values of the organization, okay, and you are not a good team member, you are not efficient, you do not help others. There are so many other factors that are equally important as a part of your role or whatever you are supposed to do. And so performance, evaluating performance, cannot ignore these other things that an employee has to be able to do, which ultimately leads to an organization's success. So for any performance management program to be effective or to be motivating, you have to describe, the organization has to describe the vision with goals. The goals are crucial. Of course, we have spoken a lot about goals to individual success and team alignment. Goal setting shows employees where they want to go. You can actually track, you know about your progress. And people who have set the goals are more successful than those who have not. So for goals to be effective, goal setting and goal tracking is very, very crucial, right? So in a goal, what happens in a goal setting process? You have to set achievable yet challenging goals. Okay, not everybody might be able to do that. Discuss the goals with the employee and understand whether does he understand those goals, is he clear with those goals, does he think that those goals are possible to achieve in the timeline given to him, does he have a different goal in his mind. Okay, so there has to be alignment between what an employee thinks and what an organization thinks, and together they have to decide what goals will drive the improved performance. And okay, you have set your goals, but after setting goals, you have forgotten about it. That doesn't work, right? You have to track, where are you on the goals? Goal have a meaning if they are tracked for progress and outcomes. You have to show that you are realistic, you are consistent, you are able to measure the progress. And then tracking the progress publicly and in real time helps you to have transparency. So what do these two, three things? You do not set goals which have no meaning, okay? They have to have meaning with an organization goals. Organization goal is a certain revenue, and you are saying that I will go and I'm taking an extreme example. I will learn cooking. What does that really work? No, it doesn't, right? Goals have to have meaning. So you have to establish a realistic and consistent process to how do you measure your progress, okay? On this timeline, this is what I will achieve. On March 30th, I will achieve this. May 31st, this is what I'll achieve. December 31st, this is where I will be. And then you track whether your timelines are correct. The activities that you have put within those goals, are those activities in line? Have they been really effective? Are you getting the best out of those activities? Are some of the things that you have to do in a goal tracking process. So tracking is important. Consistency is important, especially tracking consistently, and then being able to share it with others, make it transparent, everybody knows where you are going, helps the organization better. So there are a few employee goal tracking, how do you actually do a goal tracking, but there are some similarities that tracking methods have. So if they're public, okay, whether the goal is losing weight or exceeding your targets, you need help and support. So people might probably say, I say that this year I'm going to lose 10 kilos and I tell 10 people, people will keep reminding me, don't eat this, you know, drink water, go for an exercise. So your community could help you achieve your goals if you make it public. Also, if you're a part of a team, okay, you have to be able to tell the team that I am with you. Everybody is going in the same direction. So you're all in alignment. If you are working in one tangent and the other person is working in another tangent, then you know how it is, right? It's difficult. And it has to be real. Goals have to be tracked in real time. That means progress is posted when it happens. So today, for example, let's take the weight loss goal itself. It's a very simple, easy goal, which any of us could take it, right? So if today I see that I have reduced, say, 300 grams and I report it in my, say, health app, I have an health app. When it is real time, I'm tracking it every day. It could be 300 grams, some other day 200 grams, so many calories lost, so many gained or whatever. All that is happening in real time. So you really know whether you're progressing at the real time. Your goal is updated, your progress is seen. At work, sometimes what could happen is your goals might differ, okay? The due date might change, goals might altogether get scrapped, the company might come up with a new vision, and you might have a new direction altogether. So this is quite possible, okay? So goals actually guide you. They know, they tell you where you have to reach. They give you a path. You know what direction you have to take. Okay, so goals might change, and we have to be flexible as per the circumstances you are in. You have to be able to change yourself, and hence we call it also responsive tracking. So one is real-time tracking, where you're at a real level, really tracking, and then the responsive tracking, where you're tracking as per the situation. So now let's talk about some employee recognition best practice. Okay, as a part of any performance management process, recognition is very, very important, and people do get energized when they're recognized. Now we spoke about goals before, right? When you're able to achieve goals, it's your recognition for your own self. Number one is it's recognition for your own self. You're able to achieve what you were expected of yourself. You're proud of yourself. And you want 10 people to know that you were able to achieve your goals. Yes, that's recognition for you. You want people to know what you have done. Okay. But at the same time, you're looking for acceptance from the acknowledgement. And it is very humane for everybody to have the need to be recognized and acknowledged. So as an organization, it's important that we recognize people socially, that everybody knows. Okay, we can also ask employees how they prefer to be recognized. What is it that they feel is important for them from a recognition perspectives? Achievements and behaviors need to be seen very clearly. Okay, this person is always punctual on time. This person always helps others. This person always delivers on time. This person learns a new technology or a new skill, right? So some of these were achievements, or this person is always smiling, very, very simple, right? Or brings a lot of joy to others. So recognizing small things also is an encouragement for people to do better, okay? Then what are the different types of feedback? There's a formal feedback and there is an informal feedback. In a formal feedback, it is more about motivating a manager for performance. Organization must have both a formal and an informal feedback. Formally is where you're actually sitting with the employee, getting him into a room, looking at, you know, the designated KPIs or KPIs you have given him, what was expected of the person, what you wanted the person to do. So anything that is recorded in some way and follows like a proper process is more formal in nature, okay? It is recorded. It is there in black and white. It is data. That is more formal. And informal is where, you know, you quickly give some input. I have often resorted to informal and formal feedbacks both, but more informal feedbacks are time because people are more accepting of informal feedbacks. And if there is a situation, I immediately tell the person, oh, instead of this, you could have done this, this would have helped you. So that's one formal or informal feedback the way managers would give. And there could be a feedback where somebody else, somebody from another team said that, okay, so and so employee from your team does an excellent job, supports us in our work as well. Name is there, identity is attached. It's a very attributed feedback to a specific person. While in an anonymous feedback, there might not be the giver's identity, okay? So any feedback where you are known from where the feedback is coming, then it gives opportunity to have questions, dialogue, really understand why the feedback has come from that person, why the person is saying certain things. You have opportunity to clear yourself, defend yourself, or take it in a constructive way. In an anonymous feedback, you might not hurt other person's feelings if you have, to say something really bad. But in an anonymous feedback, you also don't know who is the person, and hence there is no dialogue. You might not really be able to dialogue with the person. So wherever possible, it's better to have attributed feedback, that is recommended. Anonymous feedback is not so recommended. And of course, we understand direct and indirect feedback. The giver straight away gives comments or suggestions to any co-worker who needs feedback. It might be given in person or could be given over phone call or email. In an indirect feedback process, the giver could be a supervisory staff or a manager. He might give some thoughts, leave decision to share in their hands. For example, I'm working with another team member from another department. I might go and tell that team's department head that, so and so team member never comes on time, or so and so person doesn't respond to our mails. Can you please tell him or her to respond to our mails? Response time is very slow. So this is like an indirect feedback. And then you tell that manager, how do you want to approach this and take care of that person's responsiveness? Or I could just step in directly and give that person a direct feedback. But in most of such kind of situations, it is indirect feedback. Direct feedback would more happen with people who are reporting to me. So, while certain concerns should be handled by higher-ups, wherever there are harassment or criminal activity, fraud or, any such kind of things, then it really needs to be taken care in a very different way. That cannot really work in a feedback kind of a situation. And it has to be taken through proper channels. There will be organization processes. So, we really need to know which feedbacks require formal, which feedback should be more formal. You can't give an informal feedback that somebody has stolen something from me, right? It's an informal feedback for a very strong criminal activity. And hence, use of direct and indirect feedback really needs to be evaluated. Sometimes certain managers also shield their employees from feedback. Please do not do that. When feedback goes through a filter, HR or a manager, it often gets diluted. It might get diluted. It's more important to have feedback direct and at first hand. So there could be feedback upward, there could be feedback downward. And there is also a process of 360 degree feedback. A 360 degree feedback, when we say upward, where if you have a dialogue with your manager and you're expecting something from your manager to help them, where you expect your manager to help you in improvising your performance, you might tell your manager ki, if you set my goals on time, it will help me. Or, if you could remove certain barriers in my work, I can perform better. So you are also giving some upward feedback to your manager. Or you ask your manager to spend more time with you, to look at how you are doing. It's an upward feedback. And of course, a manager gives a downward feedback. But 360 degree feedback in few organization, but it is more from peers, managers, direct reports, even non-team or third party contacts, okay? So from your customers, from your vendors, you get a feedback from a host of people with whom you're working. So it gives you a very detailed picture on how you're performing as a whole, as an employee, because there are multiple people who are involved in your overall performance. It can be your team, it is your manager, it is your subordinates, it could be your interpersonal teams with whom you are working, relationships, it could be your customers, it could be your customers' customers also at times. So 360 feedback, degree feedback is a much larger, bigger feedback, and there are organizations which encourage, especially those who work with customers a lot, would encourage 360 degree feedback. Whenever as a manager you're giving feedback, whenever as a manager you're giving feedback to anybody, it's feedback is positive and negative both. In a positive feedback, the receiver is happy, definitely, right? But in a negative feedback, it takes time for the receiver to really receive that negative feedback. Give enough time so that, you know, even the receiver is able to receive the feedback, and he can think about it, he can process it, and he can really adopt it and make changes, okay? So as a manager, it's a very important that, you know, instead of you getting into evaluation, you get into developmental conversations. So when do developmental conversations happen? When the manager is playing the role of a coach. So if you're giving the if you're giving a feedback in terms of what you could do better, you tell me how you could have performed better. Where do you think you went wrong? Now you tell me what you could have done better to rectify the mistake that you made. So you are on this person. What happens is this person then accepts feedback in a more stronger way. You're not really finger pointing. You're not criticizing. You're not finding faults. You're not really, you know, telling the person that you are not there. Okay, you are helping the person to really understand what are his lacunas, what are his gaps in his own way. And so as the coach, it really helps you as well as the employee or your subordinate to come together as one team. You know, you all both of them feel that you all are together in this. And that's when the person takes the feedback a lot more positively. Of course, time we spoke. So having and as feedbacks, I remember with some of my colleagues when I had to do their performance appraisals, I used to take them out in a coffee shop and I used to have conversations with them in a coffee shop. And I used to tell them, now you tell me, the way the conversation is to start is, now you tell me what went well for you. That's how we started. Okay, you know, the person would say, this went well. Okay, what could you have improved? Okay, these are the things you could have. So this was a very motivating conversation in a coffee shop, over a conversation in a fun way, where I was not the person who was telling him what went wrong. He was telling me what he could have done better. So it became a very very developmental kind of this. It was not a one-way process, and it was a two-way process. Both of us enjoyed the conversation. Most of the time, the managers don't have this kind of time. And, you know, in the last day of the appraisal, they will talk to people, they will do it because they have to do it, because it is a process set by the organization. But let me tell you, this is not something that I encourage. And as an HR person, I think conversations are key and vital in any performance feedback. Also, the kind of language that we use, right? What kind of language we use in this discussions is very important. Finger pointing, you're not taking feedback, you're not listening to me, I am telling you, you have a... So it's the phrases what you use are very, very important in any feedback process that are happening. As I said, when you play the role of a coach, your language is very different. If you play the role of a manager, your language is very different. So at any point of time, though you are a manager or you're a manager, it is important that we use the language of a coach and give them solution. Let them see things on their own. Ask them, what they could have done better? How do they see the same situation today? If they have to step out of that situation and look at that whole situation as a third party, what would they do differently? So give them options, multiple options, and then show them the path on how they can improve, and then set goals. So these are some of the things that do not work for an annual performance review. Essentially, when the feedback is not on time or it is infrequent, sometimes you give feedback, sometimes you don't give feedback. There is no clarity in the feedback that you are giving. Okay, we said, right, it's very important for people to sit and discuss. So that if there is lack of clarity, no understanding of what is expected, the performance review process will go nowhere. We spoke a lot about biases. What are the different biases that come in the way? The recency effect, the halo effect. Okay, so these biases and the manager ka personal biases, these biases could, you know, mar a performance review process. The destruction, the conversation will be destructive in nature. And even from an employee side, if the evaluation or the feedback is not taken positively, it could also again, you know, destruct the performance review process. And the whole process is around, okay, how much money am I going to get for the performance that I did in the whole year? What is going to be my incentive? Without trying to understand what you could have done better, what really didn't work for you, what has also worked well for you, then the review process becomes more useful process. But most of the time, this is what really happens in many review processes. There's more focus on the pay, what increment I'm going to get. The performance appraisal process is only related to money. And no reviews, coaching and mentoring as you go. So if you certain organizations have a continuous review process, certain organizations have a very good coaching setup that they have mentoring programs that are set up as a part of the performance process. If these reviews, coaching or mentoring processes are not effectively used, then the performance review discussions also do not become fruitful, or they are not meaningful enough. So these could possibly be some of the issues that you might face in any annual performance review. So thank you so much. I think this was a huge slide, and a lot of areas got covered in this. We talked about biases, we talked about pressure, how pressure can be created, stress can be created, what could be the pitfalls in any performance review process, and how we could, how the whole review process itself could fail in a way. So I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with y'all in terms of sharing how the entire performance review process and the performance appraisal process. Thank you so much.